We are grateful to God that the Lord has blessed us. We're grateful that he's brought us safe thus far and that he's keeping us by his grace and his mercy. Just grateful for all the wonderful things that God has done. And who can believe that we're in the month of November? Amen. Amen. And we're here and want to recognize the birthdays of people that have November birthdays. If you got a November birthday, all right, Tina, and all right, Gardel, and all right, we got folks that are just, so y'all stand for your birthday celebration. Amen. Sing happy birthday. It's a good thing to have a birthday. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you. May God bless you. God bless you. We also want to give a shout out to our broadcast on WLLL Radio. We broadcast on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m., and we're grateful for that opportunity as well. I want us in this congregation to just give the Lord a hand clap. Let the folk on the radio waves know that we're praying for them. Amen. We are also, I think someone left a note here, End Time Survival Guide, Mark Hitchcock? Okay. All right. Well, I already got my end time survival guide. It's called the Word of God. Amen. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm telling you, if God didn't tell me, I don't know who else to turn to. Amen. We do so also have a greeting. And I mentioned where Vanita Cunningham was thankful to the church for your prayers and gifts. And this comes to us from James and Barbara McNeil. Thank you for what you've done and for the thoughtfulness you've shown, James and Barbara McNeil. Amen. And certainly the Lord blessed her in leading that song. And I want to thank you all for recognizing me on Pastor's Appreciation Month. We really appreciate that. We're grateful for the opportunity to serve. I count it a privilege to be able to stand and serve both in this church and also in the community, because the Lord could have left me where he found me. But not only did he lift me up and provide things in my life and provide for me to be a blessing to this church, but to also be a witness for him. So I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I do not take it lightly. Thank you for all the gifts, all the prayers, all the cards that you sent our way. We're very grateful for that. Amen. I want to invite your attention for a few minutes as we look at a passage of scripture in the book of Exodus. And prayerfully, we can address some of the concerns that people are displaying in these times that we're living in. These are very perplexing times. There are times where people are searching for answers, praying that things will work out. But I also want to remind you who's in charge. We might look to our government and say that they're in charge, but the ultimate charge and the ultimate authority rest in the hands of God. Hear ye the word of the Lord as it's recorded in Exodus chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them through the land of the Philistines, although that was closer. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Verse 18, Exodus 13. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. I want to just leave with you a thought. Where do we go from here? Where do we go from here? Father, bless us now and bless our time together that it might be time well spent, that those over the airways might listen and receive the word of God. I pray that you would use me by your Holy Spirit. Help me to be faithful over your word and then faithful in living according to your word. We humbly ask this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and for his glory. And all the people said, amen. I came up with a saying this morning: progress is not made by how often we look back at the wrong, but progress can only be made by moving forward to that which is right. Let me say that again. Progress is not made by how often we look back at the wrong, but by moving forward to what is right. God did not argue with the Egyptians. He just simply got his people out of Egypt. Do I have any witnesses? When we think about this question, Dr. Martin Luther King, the last book of three that he wrote, he was perplexed over the concerns of the civil rights movement and how things had not moved swift enough and complete enough to really address the systemic racism in America. He was concerned so that he sat down and began to ponder the question of whether or not we had more work to do. And the answer, of course, is yes. But as he thought about that, he thought about where they had come from, and he thought about where they needed to go so that every person that lives on the face of this planet, not just in the United States, but every person would have a sense of equity, of worth and value. As we remember, God made all of us, and he made all of us in his image. So he raised that question, where do we go from here? And then he gave a subtitle, chaos or community? That's a good question. Are we moving toward chaos, or are we moving toward community? A sense of belonging and a sense of being at a place where we can respect and really appreciate one another. I prefer to move in the direction of community. But I didn't come here to preach about that. I came here to tell you that this perplexing question was asked thousands of years ago by a small group of Israelites that were leaving to go to a land that they had never seen. Many of them had the question on their mind, where do we go from here? But I would be remiss if I didn't look at where we are in the 21st century, in the year of 2020. In this year, we have been hit by things that we've never seen before. We have been reminded of how fragile we are. And there are a lot of people, we're looking to them for answers, and they're wondering and asking the question, what do we do now and where do we go from here? The economy is in shambles. The situations of people's health is very difficult. And there are people arguing over questions that don't need to be asked, whether or not to wear a mask. It's your body. And if you don't know how to follow the rules, then all I can say is, it's your body. But don't fault people for doing what they think is right and what they need to do to keep themselves healthy. Do we have any witnesses in the building? So people are asking, with this global pandemic, where do we go from here? Who would have thought that 20% of the infections of this virus would happen in the United States? All because everybody's got their own way. We focus more on individualism rather than community and how we all survive. Do I have some witnesses? Over 232,000 deaths have happened in this nation. One-fifth of the world's population have died on these United States of America, where normally these things would happen in a third world nation. Where do we go from here? Are we becoming community, or are we becoming more chaotic? And I can tell you one thing, if we don't do what Reverend Ray said we need to do, if my people would humble themselves and pray. And pray and seek God's face. Then will he hear from heaven and will forgive our land. Who would have thought in the year of 2020 that people are arguing over whether or not $15 per hour is too much when you got people in this world making $1 million an hour? You better know what you're talking about. People are arguing. People are confused, and they're asking the question, where do we go from here? I'm going to tell you, a whole lot of these folks making $1 million an hour, it ain't based on a 40-hour work week. But that's all right. I got jewels in another place. I've got riches in another kingdom. I might not get it here, but my blessing, hallelujah, is reserved for me in glory. So Israel had this question as they stood on the bank, stood near the Red Sea, not realizing that it was not by might nor by power that would they get to their destiny, but God had to lead them. God had to direct them. If I can talk with you for just a few minutes, I would remind you that this world does not belong to you or me or any other human. This world, according to Psalm 24 and verse 1, still belongs to God. We might have the usage of it, but God has the deed. Y'all not going to pray with me today. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And so the question was raised to them, where are we going and how will we get there? How will we reach this new place where we're going to? I want you to notice that in that verse it says, it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go. First of all, Pharaoh can't hold down what God is getting ready to promote. Nobody can block your blessing but you. Others might become a barrier, but they can't keep from you what God says is your... I wish I had somebody to pray with me today. Pharaoh had tried to hold the people, but he was unsuccessful, and God brought plagues upon the land to let them know that he was God. But I want you to notice that when he led the people out, according to this verse, he did not lead them through the land of the Philistines. It would have taken them maybe anywhere from 10 to 14 days. They would have been there. Boom, it's all over. But God didn't lead them that way. And God might not be leading you the shortcut. He might be leading you the long way around so you can learn that it ain't yours. The battle belongs to God. Are y'all going to pray in here today? But the two things that come out of this verse, number one, it's going to be a long journey. You might as well settle down. Don't pop your problem into the microwave and think for an answer to come out. Don't assume that you can get your little coffee maker and just say, okay, I'm going to brew me an answer here, and it'll come out in the next 60 seconds. It doesn't work that way. Look at somebody, tell them, it don't work that way. It was a long journey. It was a long path that God led them. He said, now, I don't want to take them on the shortcut because they might change their mind. I wish y'all would pray with me today. And I want to further add that they didn't might change their mind. They did change their mind. The first time they wanted water, they said, we should have stayed in Egypt. Come on, somebody. You got a whole lot of folk that rush and say, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a child of God. But as soon as the first time they stubbed their toe, where is God? You should have watched where you were walking. The way will not be easy. It wasn't easy for Jesus. But because the way is not easy doesn't mean that the way is impossible. The Bible tells us that God led them. I need some old soldiers in here. I need some folk that have been around a long time, that have been through the thickets. I need some old soldiers that have prayed a long time to tell some of the young folk it ain't been easy, but guess what? God's been with me. Do I have one or two witnesses that can clap your hand and say that God kept me through my ups and downs, through my storms, through my trials, and I'm still here in Jesus' name? Do I have anybody like that in here? We've been there. We've had to ask the question, Lord, why? But then when we asked the question, we knew that God had an answer. He may not give it to us, but he'll keep on leading. Look at somebody, tell them, God will keep on leading. Some people are at this point right here before November the 3rd, and they're wondering, is my leader going to make it? Let me talk to you. I'm not worried about which one make it, because I already got a leader who's faithful. Come on, somebody. I'm not talking politics. I'm talking about precious promises. God never missed a promise that he made us. And if we got more trouble, which either one going to bring it. Amen. Come on, somebody, because they just men. I know y'all, oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm not telling you anything but put your trust in the living God. Go vote, but put your trust in God. Hallelujah. Here it was on the brinks of the Red Sea that they had a long journey. But not only did they have a long journey, this journey was determined by one thing, that your mind was made up. The Lord said, now, they could change their mind, but I am here to tell you, if you change your mind about God, all right, you hear me? If you change your mind about God and say, I'm not going to serve him anymore, who in the world is going to help you when you need it? If God is not the one who will help you, if the Lord is not your shepherd, if God is not the light of your life, if you say, I'm going to turn from him, who are you going to? Some of the disciples in the Bible changed their mind. And the Bible said they walked with him no more. Jesus turned around and looked at those who had a made up mind and said, will you go away also? They said, Lord, we thought about this thing. Who do we go to? Over my 40-some years of pastoring here, I've had folk that got fed up and walked away. Come on, somebody, let me preach. They say, I ain't going there no more. They don't do what I want. And you know what I said? Well, you can go where you want to, but if you turn from God, who are you going to turn to? Can't nobody heal you but Jesus. Can't nobody keep you but Jesus. Nobody can bless you but Jesus. Nobody can keep you on the pathway but God Almighty. Where are you going if you leave the Lord? I remember one time I was a youngster living in my parents' house. I got fed up because I didn't want to stay there no more. Their rules was too strict. I told my mama, looked at her and said, Mama, I'm getting ready to run away. She said, okay, let me help you pack. Then she asked me another question, where are you going? I hadn't thought about that. Do I have some witnesses? But the point I'm making is the way that God takes you may not always be the easy path. But as long as the Lord leads you, you know you're going to make it. All you got to do is look back and say, I've made it this far. Leaning on the Lord, trusting in his holy word. And he never failed me yet. Do I have some witnesses in here? Where do we go from here? I'm going to give you four things that's brought out in these verses, then I'm going to my seat. Four things. I know that we want to stay within our time limit. We got Corona that's dealing with us, and the longer we stay, the more we going to be subject to it, be exposed. I mean, anyway, it is what it is. Amen? But if Jesus could preach a sermon in 20 minutes, I ought to be able to get my little stuff out of the way in a few minutes. Y'all got a little time? Four things that are brought out in these verses, when you ask the question, where do we go from here? First of all, where we go from here is going to depend on our first thing that we need, and that is clear direction. Clear direction. If you don't know where you're going, I don't want to follow you. Amen. I remember one man was driving in the fog, and he said, I'm going to get behind the brightest lights, and I'm going to follow them. That man went on down the road, and everywhere that bright light would turn, they would turn. Then soon, all of a sudden, the bright light stopped. The man got out and he said, man, why did you stop? He said, I'm in my driveway. I don't know where you're going. But where you go from here will depend on directions. And the Bible is clear when it says in this verse, so God led the people. I want to tell you that in this year of 2020, God has not renounced. He has not, amen, gone back on his word that he will lead us. The shepherd leads his people, and so God leads us. It says, so God led the people around by way of the wilderness. You can walk through the storm and walk through the trial knowing that God is going to lead you. We have leadership in the form of God's Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit came and made residence within you. And the Holy Spirit, not only is he leading you, but he's also developing you. God is working in your life, and he doesn't do everything you wanted to do. Otherwise, you'd be God and he'd be your servant. Oh, y'all don't like that. I see that now. Let me go and preach about something else here. So there are times we go in different direction and we have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to pray that God would help us and get us back on the path. Because you're a Christian does not mean that you don't fail sometimes. Do I have some witnesses? And with those times of error where we've not followed God, we need to pray as the psalmist did in Psalm 51, verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You need direction, and God is the one who will direct your path. He says he directs the path of the righteous. But the second thing that you need, if you're writing these down, not only direction, but you need devotion. Amen. Devotion. What is devotion? Is that the song and prayer we pray? Is that how we have devotion? Devotion means that you are committed to following God. You're not committed to your own way. And let me tell you something. When I got saved, I was tired of sinning. Why? Because it was wearing me out. It took everything I had, all the money I had, work all week to get a paycheck and then spend it in one night. Why? Because living in sin. But when you serve God, even though the wages of sin is death, you still have God who will come in your life and he will give you the gift of righteousness. He's a wonderful Savior. You need devotion in your life. It's not about God leading you, but it's about you following. You following. Amen. And God said, and the Bible says, if they see war, verse 17, if they see war, they might change your mind. Now, what is it that it takes to help you to have a made up mind? First of all, you got to know that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. God is my maker. So he ought to know who I am. But not only is God my maker, he's the one that blesses. I've never known the devil to bless anybody. Amen, somebody. All my years of living, I've never known him to bless anybody because he's a thief and a robber. He might tell you got a blessing, but guess what? You might have something else other than the blessing. We follow God because of the blessing, but we also follow him because he is God. He is worthy of our praise. And when you start looking at the things of God and following God in your life, you become devoted to him. And you say that the Lord, he is God. But not only is it a matter of devotion, that we are working and serving the Lord. Abraham was a man that was devoted to God. God said to Abraham, Abraham, leave your country and go to a land that I'll show you. Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees and went to a place where the Lord showed him. And even in that land, he kept looking to God for direction. He was devoted. He was devoted. You know a person is devoted when they take their best and they offer that to God. Amen, somebody. You know that they're devoted when they'll say, Lord, I want to serve you for the rest of my life. You know, we need to sing old songs like that. I promised him that I would serve him till I die. No, it's not about works. But if God is in you, you're going to work. Do I have some witnesses? Y'all getting mighty quiet on me. Let me go on and finish here. Where do we go from here? Depends not only on devotion and direction, but where we go from here depends on duty. Duty, knowing that you've been assigned by God to march and to become that person that you need to be in Christ. I'm wondering how many people, when they stand in the portals of glory, will have not grown in their faith because they never thought that it was their duty. The Bible talks about us being grown up, growing up in Christ, serving and being a part of the body of believers, serving the Lord with gladness and with all of our heart, mind, and soul. Where do we go from here depends on our duty. There were assignments that the people had. I want to tell you that when they left Egypt, they began to struggle with some things that you and I haven't even thought about. Where will we get water from? Where are we going to get some food? There were no stores there. There was nothing for them to depend on but God. And don't you know that God made a way out of no way? Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. The Bible said they got water out of a rock. Amen. And they got manna because it fell on the ground. But watch this. If they'd said to themselves, man, this is great. Now let the Lord pick up the manna. They would have starved with bread all around them. It becomes your duty to do your part in serving the Lord and being responsible for the thing that he's laid in your hands. Where do we go from here? It depends on duty. There was a young man that left Egypt by the name of Joshua. And that young man followed willingly. That young man followed with all of his heart. He was devoted. He had the direction of God, but he was also knowing that it was his duty. And at the end of his life, he wanted to encourage other people with a word from God. This is what he wrote in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He said, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, then you choose. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You got to serve him, and you serve him with gladness. Then lastly, where we go from here depends on our destiny. What's on your mind? Where do you really want to arrive in life? Is your destiny to have a lot of money or maybe to be famous? I tell you, if you make vain things your destiny, they'll become more and more obscure to you. But if you make serving God, if you make loving Jesus with all of your heart, if you say, that's my destiny, at the end of my life, heaven is going to be a beautiful place. But the number one person I want to see is Jesus. Thank God I love to see my mama and my daddy over there, but just to behold the face of Jesus, the one that died for me. What is your destiny? Do you not know that because people that were marching out of Egypt, they didn't know their destiny? Do you not know that as they marched out of Egypt and some of them got to the portals of the land of Canaan and did not appreciate where they were? Because they made, amen, what they thought was a destiny instead of what God told them. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. If you're setting your mind and your affection on things above where Christ sits, if you're setting your mind on being in his presence, I don't know what it's going to be like to be around millions of people worshiping and praising God and to behold the glory of God in his kingdom. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to be the most phenomenal thing that we've ever. People say, I want to walk on the streets of gold. Gold doesn't mean anything if God is not there. I want to see the walls of Jasper, but if God is not behind those walls or in those walls, I don't want to be there wherever Jesus is. That's where I want to be. Do I have some witnesses here? I want you to hold your head up in these times. And yes, we got to wear a mask, but hold your head up with the mask. Praise God for where you are in your journey right now. Don't let the depressing times get in your heart, in your spirit, because you're more than a conqueror. You've had faith in God to lead you this far. Don't give up now. You hold on to your Bible. Pray and seek God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And I guarantee you, you'll reach your destiny. I'm going to close by giving you a story in the book of 2 Kings, I believe it is. 2 Kings in chapter 7. Amen. The Bible talks about some, 2 Chronicles. Chapter 7, I get it right. 2 Kings chapter 7, I'm right. 2 Kings chapter 7, not the first king, but the second king. Chapter 7. There were some lepers outside the gates of Samaria. And those lepers looked at one another. The army of the Syrians had besieged the city. They were all around. No one could get in and go out. And as lepers, they couldn't go into the city because they were unclean by their disease. But those lepers looked at one another. These four lepers looked at one another. And they said, now, here's our problem. If we stay here, we're going to die. That's our problem. If we go back into the city, we're going to die. And if we go to the enemy, we might die. But they are saying to themselves, why are we going to sit here until we die? Y'all not going with me. They were asking the question, where do I go? You got three options. You can go back. You can stay where you are. Or you can move forward. And when they made decisions that they were going to move forward, they said, now, if the enemy kills us, we're going to be dead anyway. We're going down to the enemy. And do you not know that the sound of their footsteps, God put them on an amplifier in heaven so that when they began to move forward, what the enemy heard was troops and armies invading them, and the enemy got panicked, and every one of their enemies began to run away. What am I saying to you? Instead of you sitting back and saying, well, I'm just going to stay right here. I'm just going to hunker down. You're going to die. You say, well, I might as well go back to where I was. You're going to die. But if you move forward by faith, God is leading you forward. God is telling you, saints, don't get discouraged. Don't give up your hope. Trust in me. I brought you this far, and I'll lead you every step of the way. When they got down to the enemy camp, the Bible said all the enemies had left, and they left all their stuff. Glory be to God. They left all their food, all their clothes, everything else. They left their horse. Anytime you leave without your horse means, man, you're really scared. But they went down to the camp, and they were able to enjoy the bounty because they moved forward. Your answer to your need of your life is not based on staying where you are. It's not based on going back to that world of sin, which is represented by Egypt. It's by moving forward at the direction of God Almighty. Where do you go from here? Get up, saints. Pray up. Then move forward. God will keep you. God bless you. Father, thank you again for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to share this word today. I pray that somebody will hear it and be encouraged. Somebody, Lord, will get hope and learn, Lord, that you didn't bring us this far to leave us now. Bless us to be a blessing, not just to get a blessing. Bless us to be a blessing that we might encourage others. And now, God, keep us by your grace and your love. And we give you thanks, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord another hand clap. Well, we're getting ready to get out of here, but I want you to remember to receive your offering as you go out to give your offering. Thank you for honoring God in your giving. Also, the Pink Witnesses have a gift to share with you, and we pray that you would have a great week this week.